Welcome to Pete's Pub. I'm your host, Pete Kemmerer. This is episode 5, release date Sunday, July 20th, 2025. Today it's just me, and I want to share a very personal story with you. I want to tell you a little bit about serendipity and destiny. One of the great joys in my life has been to become a father and then a pop-pop. Growing up, I never would have guessed I'd love children. Heck, I wouldn't have guessed I'd get married. Until I met my now wife, Denise, all of my few crushes and relationships had ended in disappointment. I joke with Denise sometimes that when we first dated, I was more or less feral. She had her work cut out for her, that's for sure. But over the years, she helped make me a much better man than I could have been on my own. While any marriage is work, ours not being an exception, I'm eternally grateful for her, and she is the very last person in this world I want to disappoint. The way I came about meeting Denise and understanding my purpose in this life of mine involved a lot of serendipity and maybe even a little destiny. Stay with me on this one. When I was 16, my dad bought me my first car. A white 1968 VW Bug. It was a horrible car, especially for here in the Northeast U.S., because it didn't have a heater. The car was eventually heated by the heat of the engine, which was located in the rear, and it was terrible in the snow. It was all mine, though, and it had an 8-track tape player that worked. And it was a standard shift, so I was cool because I drove with both feet, and it ran really nicely. One day, I was driving north on Mack Boulevard in Allentown when I got caught in a downpour. The road quickly filled with water, and even though I was only doing about 30, 35 miles an hour, I was horrified when, at a section of the road where it was not banked correctly, I began hydroplaning into the oncoming lane while trying to negotiate a bend to the right in the road. I looked up and saw a Bell Telephone cherry picker truck headed right for me and a Pepsi truck that had pulled over on the side of the oncoming road. Pink Floyd Animals was playing in my 8-track deck. It all happened in a couple of seconds. I reflexively pulled up my knees into the steering wheel and I braced for the impact. I was knocked out cold for an undetermined amount of time, but I don't think it was too long. The Pepsi truck driver was yelling into the car, "Turn it off! Turn it off!" I didn't know what he was talking about, but he managed to pull the door open, turn the key off, as the engine was still running in the rear of the car, and basically carried me across the street and sat me down on the far side of the truck in the rain while he used his CB radio to call for help. It wasn't long before an ambulance arrived and took me to the hospital. Miraculously, I only had some cuts in my nose and eyebrow and some glass in my eye that they removed without much damage. My knees were sore and turning black and blue, but I had somehow survived. My dad came shortly later to pick me up and take me home. I can only remember the police telling my dad that it wasn't my fault. I was driving for the conditions, which was verified by both the Bell Telephone and Pepsi truck drivers, and had simply hydroplaned, in part due to the reverse bank in the road. The next day, after getting some much-needed rest, I asked my dad if he knew where my car was. He said he did, and I demanded to see it. Initially, he refused, but I was persistent, and he drove me over. Well, it was horrific. There was absolutely nothing left of the car forward of the windshield, which was shattered. My knees had bent the steering wheel forward in an L shape, and the steering wheel was the only thing that kept me in the car at all, as there were no seat belts. I just stood there, shocked and not believing I had survived. I felt sick to my stomach. For years, I wondered how and why. Why didn't I just die like I obviously should have? looking at that car, I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I was doing 30, 35 miles an hour. The Bell telephone truck was doing about 40. Basically, I hit a brick wall at 70 miles an hour. My face was in contact with the front grille of that truck. If you would have seen the car driving past it in the rain right after the accident, you surely would have said something along the lines of, oh, there's no way that driver lived. How and why in the world did I survive, and with just minor scratches? I had no idea, and I would wonder about that for many years, during which I couldn't bring myself to listen to that Pink Floyd album. Now, moving forward in time, when I moved back to Pennsylvania from Connecticut in 1989, it took me a while to find work in quality assurance, despite having a good deal of experience in it at that point. I had just about given up, working for Arby's in their management trainee program, when I saw a help wanted ad in the Allentown Morning Call for a quality engineer in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, at a company called Neapco. They called me down for an interview, and I was more than happy to go. I met with a man named Richard Snyder, who, I was to find out, graduated from the same high school that I did, but 10 years earlier. I found out later that they had already made an offer to another candidate, but Dick liked my experience, and the fact that we had both graduated from Deerhoff High School in Allentown gave us a bond, I suppose. So he made an offer to me, which I accepted, and I began work. Unbeknownst to me, one of my co-workers in quality was my future brother-in-law. I worked there for a year, commuting from Allentown, until I got tired of the drive back and forth. So I decided to find an apartment in Pottstown that I could afford. I found a small 4-room apartment and moved there. Little did I know that my landlord was going to be my father-in-law. It was then that I first saw Denise and I developed my first impression. She was pretty much the real-life version of Sweet Polly Purebred from the old Underdog shows. A note, not really, but it's not that far from being accurate. She was actually the next generation of her mother, which was a very good thing. When I met Denise, she already had a son, Todd, named after her late husband, Todd Conway, who was her childhood sweetheart. Todd tragically died in an automobile accident, following which Denise found out she was pregnant with their son. Can you imagine that? I met Todd when he was 15 months old, and I've been dad ever since. Denise and I were married a year after we met. I never once looked at Todd as not my real son. He was and is a joy, every bit my son as is his younger brother, Aaron. And he taught me a lot about how to be a good dad. Like his mother, he stole my heart right away. And I knew then something I never thought was possible, that my great purpose in life was taking care of this family I was gifted. Denise's first love and Todd's biological father may have been taken from them, but I was somehow given to them, and I gladly accepted the responsibility. Now, this is what I believe. I'm not telling you to believe it, but I do. I was supposed to survive because years later, after my accident, Todd was going to be coming home from a Flyers game, and he was going to be killed in a car accident. His wife, Denise, was going to give birth to her son, their son. She lost her husband, and Toddy lost his father. And I was supposed to find them both some 15 years after my near-fatal accident and be Denise's husband and Toddy's father. And so I was and am. Was it God?
Fate?
You decide for yourself. All I know is that after finding myself with this new family years later, I just know I was supposed to be here and fulfill my destiny. I felt the purpose. It felt right. And now I don't wonder anymore. I believe in my heart of hearts that I was somehow saved specifically for that. I don't understand it all. But you know something? In life, you don't have to understand everything. At some point, you have to just accept reality, accept what's happening to you and say, you know, it's okay not to know everything. I'm just a human being. Todd Sr. was tall, dark, and handsome. I was tall and dark. Todd Sr. always saw the number 402 and told Denise about it, like on a clock or a license plate or whatever. My birthday is 402. Todd died in a car accident. I was saved from one. I needed to be brought to Pottstown, Pennsylvania, a place I never even knew about or visited or had any reason to visit if I was to meet my future. Well, a last-minute help wanted Ad took care of that. I needed to get that job, even though they had offered it to someone else who had already accepted it. The other candidate changed their mind at the last minute, and the person doing the interview, who was to be my boss, just so happened to graduate from my high school. And we hit it off great. I needed to move to Pottstown, and without knowing it, I moved into the apartment being rented out by my future father-in-law. I was working alongside my future brother-in-law, who ultimately got Denise and I together. Lots of serendipity here. You might even say destiny. As hard as I had tried, I could never make logical sense of how or why I survived that accident. Before I even had a clue as to having a purpose in my life, it was all almost taken from me. And even after that, it was years before it finally dawned on me what I was doing here. Sometimes the answers you are looking for take time, and you have to open yourself up to seeing and understanding them when they finally do present themselves. I never even had a thought that my destiny would be tied to a widowed mother and a son, and then another son, a daughter-in-law, and two grandsons. I barely had a family at all growing up, and no clue as to how to be part of one, let alone want to be in one. I had given up on all of it. But that is exactly when it all came together for me. When I gave up trying to manifest my own destiny and started seeing and accepting the wonderful things that were right there in front of me. All of a sudden, everything made sense. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed my story. If you have any comments about it or suggestions for the podcast, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can drop me an email at peter.kemmerer, that's K-E-M-M-E-R-E-R, at gmail.com. The theme music for Pete's Pub is Hard Fought Victory by Chris Martin and Jeff Harvey at www.purple-planet.com. And until next week, remember, if you can be a bass player, be one. If you can't, date or marry one. Talk to you soon.